Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the 21st chapter of John's gospel, a story that occurs immediately after the appearance of Jesus when Peter and some other disciples have returned to fishing and Jesus meets them at the seashore. And after that, he talks personally and directly to Peter. So listen with me for God's word. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the principles of biblical scholarship that they teach you in seminary is that if a passage in the Bible is odd in some way, that makes the passage even more believable. The thinking behind this notion is that if a follower of Christ were simply to be making up some stories about Jesus, that author would be unlikely to write something which was difficult to understand or which portrayed Jesus in a kind of peculiar light. And so when we read a story about Jesus and end up feeling confused, or if we have some unanswered questions about it, that means that we should read that story again with real attention and listen very carefully to what it says. So today's Eastertide lesson is one of those passages. Jesus has made another one of his post-Easter appearances, this time on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Peter and some of the other disciples have gone back to their profession of fishing. And there on the shore they see Jesus, and they're thrilled to see him. And they gather and have some breakfast there on the shore. And then Jesus has this conversation with Peter, in which Jesus repeats himself over and over again. And Peter becomes increasingly distressed by Jesus asking him the same question over and over again. "Peter, do you love me?" Now, there's an obvious reference here to Peter's betrayal. We all know that on the night when Jesus was arrested and carried off to be tried, he predicted that Peter would betray him. And Peter said, "Lord, I will never do that. There's no circumstance which I could possibly betray you." And before the night was over, three times, Peter had told onlookers that he did not have anything to do with that Jesus. And so here, Jesus repeats himself three times, and Peter's given a chance to say over and over again the words that he could not speak there when he betrayed Jesus, saying, "Jesus, you know I love you." And then Jesus gives him this instruction. It's actually three different instructions. They're similar. The first one is, "Feed my lambs." And then, "Tend my sheep." And then, "Feed my sheep." Now this, of course, has nothing whatsoever to do with actual sheep. Jesus is not telling Peter and the other disciples to take up sheep farming. This is a reference to Jesus describing himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd who, like a shepherd, cares for sheep, loved children, who fed his flock when they were hungry, who even laid down his life to protect them. And so when we listen carefully and think thoughtfully about this passage, we come to understand what seems a very clear and relatively understandable instruction that Jesus gave Peter about what he and the other followers of Christ should do, who they should be. They are like Jesus, to be good shepherds who care for and tend and feed the people, especially the children. But I was thinking about this passage in the context of preaching on Memorial Day Sunday, and I had a thought that had never struck me before. Today, we remember with special gratitude the men and women of the armed forces of our nation. Soldiers have a very difficult job. They deal with the most horrible situations that human beings create in warfare. The normal, everyday human reaction to armed conflict is to run away. But soldiers march toward it, and they face it, facing those awful situations, putting their lives at risk when they do. It's really not very often that most of us, living our daily lives and doing our routine jobs, have to face our fear of dying. When we do, we discover it's a terrible experience. If we have a near fatal accident, could have been an accident, on the highway. If the doctor gives us a life-threatening diagnosis, we find that's a terrible experience. It's incapacitating for us almost. It's exhausting. We almost never wake up in the morning and think that what we are going to do today could easily result in my death. But when soldiers are doing their jobs, engaging in military conflict, that's what they think when they wake up. And so obviously the very best people to do the job of being a soldier are people who are not afraid of dying, who will not be incapacitated by what they face. So why didn't Jesus give Peter and the other disciples the jobs of being soldiers? Why didn't Jesus tell them to strap on their armor and pick up their swords and become soldiers? Well, I think the answer is not too difficult to understand. Even though Peter and his friends, for the very first time in human history, were people who did not have reason to fear death, they were having breakfast for the first time ever with someone who died a horrible death and conquered death for all of us. Jesus knew the sad truth that soldiers, even when they do their jobs extremely well, even when they win the victories that end the wars, those battlefield victories do not solve the underlying human problems that started the war in the first place. People take up arms against each other. Nations send their soldiers to engage in warfare because at some level, at a very deep level, someone is desperately hungry. But of course, when I talk about hunger, I'm not just talking about the fact that we need food. Yes, we need food to live. And we're uncomfortable if we don't have food on a regular basis. The longer we go without food, the more desperate we become. The more we need it, the more willing we are to do anything to get the food for which we are hungry. We will finally, in desperation, try to get food in ways that ignore whether what we are doing hurts other people or not. And so people take up arms against each other. And leaders of nations send armies marching when they have some need, some hunger, so desperately that they are willing to do it regardless of the fact that people will be hurt, even killed. It's in that situation that armies march. And then armies march to defend the people who are being hurt. Armies march to prevent the further harm which may be coming. And then another war goes into the human history book. If there was a world in which no one felt such desperate hunger, no one had such awful unmet needs, there would be no wars. There would be no need for soldiers. And so Peter and his friends, even though they would have been excellent soldiers, were given the job to be like him, good shepherds, to tend and to feed the sheep and the lambs, to care for, to feed the hungry people, especially the children around them, to address that underlying cause of the violence among humans. Of course, this lesson is not just for one man or for a few. It's for all who follow Jesus in every age. It's a lesson for us. And so what, hearing this lesson, what should we do? We should be focused. We should be energized. We should be persistent in doing all that we can do to be good shepherds. Doing all that's in our power to make sure that everyone, especially the children, have the basic needs of life met. Have enough food. Have shelter in which they'll be safe. Have the basics of life. But of course, as much as people need these basic things, we also should be persistent and focused and energized to deal with people's needs, to be connected with others, to be loved, to be supported by people around them, people who care, people who take care of them. Helping people find a way to have their hunger for love met, that should be our goal. And perhaps the deepest hunger, perhaps the one which most explains the constant and self-inflicted human tragedy of warfare, is spiritual hunger. Hunger to know God. Hunger for the truth about who we are and whose we are. Hunger for knowing what is the meaning of our lives. And so we, more than anyone else, should be persistent and focused and energized to tell the world around us the truth that we are God's and that God loves us. Now, this appearance of Jesus, this conversation with Peter, happened in the very first Eastertide. And so for them, it was all brand new, and they had no idea exactly what they were to do. They began to figure it out, putting down their nets and going about the work of starting the church. We've had a lot of time to think about what this means, and generations before us have thought about it. How exactly does it change human life that Jesus suffered a horrible death and then rose again and declared victory for himself and for all of us over death itself? We are so fortunate that this is not a new idea for us, and we have generations of Christians before us who've taught us how to be good shepherds by their faithfulness. So I would send you into this Memorial Day weekend with that as a goal, that you claim your identity as a good shepherd. And I want to add three just brief highlights or footnotes to this assignment that Jesus gave to Peter and to us. The first is that starving shepherds do not take good care of their sheep. We cannot feed other people if we ourselves are deeply hungry, if we suffer from unmet needs, if those needs have to do with the basics of life, or if we need more loving relationships around us, or if we need solid spiritual foundations on which we're building our lives, if there is some way in which we are hungry people here at Wildwood Church, we need to speak of that and let this community reach out, all of us, to one another, that we might be richly fed and therefore have that to share. And secondly, the basics are in fact basic. We need food, we need shelter. And so when we make decisions about our life together as a congregation, when we make the tough choices about how we support this ministry and contribute to that mission, we must remember this scene in which Jesus told Peter something very simple. Do the basics. Feed, tend, care for the people, especially the children. And thirdly, as we remember with special gratitude on this weekend, the men and women who are in military service, those in our church family who are currently serving in the armed forces of our nation. Greg left me a note saying he'd updated the list of current members of the Wildwood family in the military. If there's someone you're close to who has not been listed in our bulletin, please let us know. And this weekend, of course, we remember with love and special gratitude Joey Dimmick and the other brave people whose names we know who lost their lives in the military and warfare. And we remember with gratitude all the people who've come home, the brave men and women with injuries and disabilities, which made rebuilding their lives a challenge. And we remember their families, all the families who have sent people into war and welcomed them home to give their support. As we are living in this context of this weekend, and we hear the words that Jesus spoke to Peter, we should be people who hold fast and lift high that vision of a day when people and nations will study war no more. When people and nations will convert their swords and their spears into farming tools. And instead of fighting, people will grow wonderful, nourishing food. So that no child, no adult around this entire planet will be hungry in body or mind or in spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.